You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show.
What is up, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans? It's 2014. You know what time it is. This is Season 1, Episode 11, The Magical Place. I am Matt Lieberman. Joining me on the panel, as always, we have the fantastic and talented Miss Megan Salinas.
Happy New Year, everyone.
The brilliant and sharp Miss Kristen Carroll.
Hey, guys.
And the fantastic and talented Miss Joyce Ajuri.
Sup.
All right.
Sup.
Yeah. First of all, before we begin, a shout out to Mr. Brett Dalton, who plays Agent Grant Ward on the show. It is his birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
So we are celebrating with some lovely cupcakes here in the studio in honor of his birthday.
Courtesy of Agent Salinas over here.
Yes. Agent Salinas, agent in charge of baked goods.
And Brett, we will eat these in your honor.
Great. I would also eat them not in your honor, but in this case, I will eat them.
We'll tweet you a picture of us eating them. Yeah.
So, the big thing, obviously, we have to talk about it right out of the gate. Agent Coulson, we finally got to see what happened after he died. He was out for days. He was trapped in the clutches of Centipede, and they used this machine, and finally we got to see what really happened. Not Tahiti. Holy cow. How do you guys feel?
I feel like I have more questions than answers now, because they were on the doctor said at the end it was the fifth operation.
Seventh.
I have seventh. I don't know why I said fifth. It's late.
You plead the fifth on why you didn't say seventh. Yeah.
But it's the seventh operation. Was that even the one that worked, or was it something else? We still don't exactly know what happened. We didn't see what he looked like under the sheet. I mean, that sounds bad, but just, you know, is he still all there?
Yeah. That's a big question. I think while it didn't really give us any firm answers, it did kind of close some of the doors that we had opened in theorizing. Mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say he's not the Vision at this point, who is, you know, part hologram, part robot. He has a real brain. They were operating on a real brain. Unless that memory is from the body that they then ditched when they tried to give him, like, will to live, you know.
Yeah, that was really crazy. I mean, it's exactly what we wanted. We wanted to see this Coulson episode, something that really answered some of our questions. But I didn't expect it to be as hard-hitting as it was. No. It was really emotional.
I agree 100%. Because everybody has their own theories as to what happened. And obviously, we know S.H.I.E.L.D. did something. And speculating what it could be is one thing. Seeing Coulson's exposed brain as a robot was just tinkering away at it.
Firing lasers at it.
While he's screaming, please let me die. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of us were really prepared to see that.
Oh, no. Not at all.
I feel like everybody was like scratching their head like, I'm okay, right?
Definitely not expecting that. But that is the future, guys. That's what our medicine is going to be like.
Is invasive brain laser robots?
Yes, robots are our future.
Damn.
So Coulson's way ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. He's ahead of the curve.
Yeah, ahead of his time. Laser brain robots.
Ahead of the curve.
There's no way to get ahead in life.
Oh, don't know. No head puns on this show. I get enough of it on Sleepy Hollow. Thank you. Marissa Serafini, our fantastic producer in the booth. He was cut open and forced to live even though he wanted to die, which to me, like, as big of a question as it is, how is he alive? What is he? The fact that he didn't want to be alive in the first place is the most shocking thing for me, because he's always been such a fighter and he's always been such an idealist and an optimist. To think that he was so hopeless and that he gave up is really, as you both all said, heartbreaking.
Well, and just the way the doctor was describing what he was going through, what they were doing to him to try to keep him alive, to try to save him, was so excruciating and so painful that it's like, it's probably not worth it, yeah. You know, in his mind at the time.
Yeah, no, our doctor was played by Ron Glass from Firefly.
Oh,
amazing.
I was so happy to see him on the screen. I love him.
I love him too. He was in the pilot, so it was cool to get him back. And he's obviously distraught over the whole thing. It was he did not sign up for that. He walked into the room and was just as stunned by Laser Robot as Coulson was in many ways. Deeply regrets it. So we learned, yeah, that he had been dead for several days, which the moment you die, your brain starts deteriorating.
Right.
It's impossible to raise someone from the dead with full brain activity, especially days after they died. So, like, I'm wondering, what is this machine actually doing? Is it creating new brain tissue? Is it stimulating the dead tissue? Is it rewriting the brain like it's a CD-ROM? Like, what is this machine?
I definitely think it gave him, you know, whole new parts of his personality, his mind. I mean, it definitely implanted that memory of Tahiti. I thought of Dark City when they mentioned just we put that in you so you wouldn't be the person that you were.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just really shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents have been saying, you know, since he came back, oh, you're a changed man. Well, now we know why.
Yeah.
It's because they were literally rewriting his brain.
They were literally changing him and making him, giving him that will to live, which is even scarier because now he's this guy who's in charge, who's, you know, beloved by his team. But ultimately, what if the fight's not really there? What if he decides, you know what, all the fight that I have in me is artificial and screw S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm not even going to try. I wish I was dead. How much of that is still in him?
Yeah, I feel like he trusts his system so much, but now he realizes how much the system betrayed his last request.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even if the system betrayed him, though, he has a family now.
He does.
So even if he eventually needs or wants to turn his back on S.H.I.E.L.D., I don't think he'll want to turn his back on his family.
Right.
Yeah, family, keyword this episode, because we learned a lot about Coulson from just two little anecdotes. Namely, that his father died when he was very young, and it was a defining experience for him, and his mother is now dead. S.H.I.E.L.D. is all he has. He has nowhere else to go. The cellist thinks that he's dead. We find out, you know, we don't know whether or not this is true, because this is Raina we're talking about, but Raina tells him that she loved him, and it's obviously very difficult for him to hear,
mm-hmm.
you know, that S.H.I.E.L.D. brought him back, forced him back into life when he wanted to die, and then also made it so that he can't see the one woman outside of S.H.I.E.L.D. who he had a connection with.
Well, this is why Raina lived and Poe died, though.
Yeah.
She was definitely showing her credentials, right? She was able to get him in.
Oh, yeah. You know, Poe was a blunt instrument, torture guy. Doesn't really work on a guy like Coulson. Coulson's mm-hmm. a soldier. He's not going to open up to torture. He's someone who... He hides his emotions, but they're very much there. He's a softie. He's a sweetheart. You got to get to the core of him. Now that Raina has been captured, though, hopefully she won't be causing too much more trouble. Maybe we'll get some more answers.
Yeah.
Still don't know who the clairvoyant is, where they are, how they have this miraculous gift, because as it has been established so far in the series, there has never been someone with telepathy in this version of the Marvel Universe, where the X-Men do not exist. And the word mutant has never been invented.
Well, and I was also, to get back to how Coulson came back, I had talked to briefly Megan about it, but I don't know if you guys also noticed that at one point when Coulson was having his flashback, it almost looked like the black sky with the stars that Tony Stark saw at the end of the Avengers when he was falling down. And then I know you'd mentioned that the blood that was being fed into him looked black.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if another reason too, you know, if the brain in our world can't last that long,
mm-hmm.
if in another realm, I mean, we're talking about there's, you know, a bunch of other kingdoms there's, now that we can deal
there's
with.
There's aliens and gods and, mm-hmm. you know, all sorts of other
I wonder if Nick Fury's,
moving
you know,
heaven and earth, if that meant that he actually brought some technology from...
I mean, the sky was open to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, maybe he did something at the convergence.
Yeah, the doctor just mentioned that, you know, seven operations. He didn't say what they were doing, though. They could still be pulling out, you know, everything that S.H.I.E.L.D. has in, you know, in...
Can we at least, can we all agree that where Coulson was being held and worked on was in was on Earth, was a S.H.I.E.L.D. facility?
I would say
so. It looked like it, yeah.
Yeah.
It looked, yeah.
I would say, yeah.
But yeah, it just looks like for a brief second there that there was stars.
Okay. Yeah.
But Fury did ask for the operation, and did it? Was it just me, or was he actually there during the operation?
He was, yeah.
We saw a brief cameo.
But I guess he could be in another world with him while that was going on.
Well, we saw like an observation room, like in a wide shot, and we saw what looked like Nick Fury standing there looking down over it. You know, moved heaven and earth. I don't know. We had a lot of Chitauri stuff come back this week. It's entirely possible if a week had passed since the Chitauri invasion, I don't know how much of their technology we would have been able to convert into something useful to save Coulson. I honestly don't know. I personally don't think that there was an alien connection, but who knows?
I'm just saying, I'm just throwing that out there. It's something that I could see happening just based off of what. Again, I thought I have more questions now about all the operation. I mean, I'm glad I think we all kind of knew he wasn't really in Tahiti.
Right.
Although I think they should send him there now.
Yeah, he deserves it.
That's what I would ask for.
Man, a vacation.
Just send me to Tahiti for a month.
That would be a nice way to end the series. They end the series with Coulson actually in Tahiti with someone he loves.
All you see is a cello, like off to the side,
to kind of keep that open for interpretation.
Yeah,
was she or wasn't she there,
or was he just learning?
Yeah. Come back to bed. Cello slides into frame. Woman walks past it. Yeah. Okay.
Coulson fantasy.
All right. I think I finally hit the nerve. All right. Really quickly, I just want to talk to the folks at home about iTunes. Thank you so much for downloading or listening to this podcast. We do it for free every week because we love talking about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We love talking about it specifically with all of you. AfterBuzz TV is the best fans in the entire world. I guarantee it. I will fight someone who says differently. This is a free podcast. You get to download it for free, listen to it wherever you want, on whatever device you want to listen to a podcast to. What could you do in return if you're feeling generous, if you have a little bit of time? Doesn't cost you any money. You can go to iTunes, the same place where you probably got your podcast. You can leave a review and a rating on our show. It means the world to us. It is the one form of currency that we really take stock in because it makes our show more searchable. It lets our bosses know that we're doing a great job. We want this to be the number one Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast on the web, and you can help us. So please, please help us with that. Continue talking to us on the YouTube, on the Twitter. We love answering your comments. I have a few quick shout-outs, really, really quickly. Folks who reviewed us on iTunes. Michael B85 reviewed us the day after Christmas. He said, "Hey, guys, great work. Question, could it be that Skye is Captain America's daughter? I know her mom might be a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, but I think there's one who had an affair or romance with Cap. Holy crap, could Cap be her grandfather?" LOL. This is written by Michael B85. I personally, I mean, he was frozen at the end of Captain America the First Avenger.
And I mean,
he
you could freeze
love.
Other things, too.
I know, but they didn't freeze them before he went on the mission.
Not that
I was
going to
say,
of.
Did he and...
And Peggy did not even get to dance together, let alone do a horizontal dance, first of all.
The tango.
Yeah, and I think he has too much honor to cheat on her. I don't know.
I actually heard a rumor she might be getting her own show. I think
I heard
fantastic.
Agent Carter, potentially as one of the Netflix cable shows.
Oh, that would nice. Be I would cool. watch that.
Yeah,
I would
for
watch
sure.
that too. She was rad.
Cool.
Another quick shout out. True Priscilla writes, "I'm so glad I found this after show podcast. I love seeing what other people think about the show and their different opinions on it. The people on the panel bring all sorts of topics and point out things I've never even thought of."
Nice.
Thank you to you both. You rock.
Thank
Go
you.
You. We love doing this show too. So
you guys are awesome.
I think it's more probable that she's Tony Stark's daughter.
That makes a lot more sense. That Tony Stark is a bunch of illegitimate children. But then, like, why is that so terrible? Well, I guess it could be
kind of
terrible.
Well, Pepper will kick his ass if she finds out that he has a daughter that she doesn't know about.
That's true. And he probably won't pay alimony or much attention.
Or Piper. I think I said Pepper.
Pepper, yeah.
Pepper.
Pepper? Pepper. Pepper Potts.
Pepper Potts. Okay. That's correct.
Yeah, we're all good. We're safe. This is a safe place, Joyce.
You need some sugar right now.
Pepper. I do. Yeah.
Yes. Have a cupcake. Okay. So, meanwhile, on the bus, we're dealing with the team, dealing with Victoria Hand, who is just such a drag.
Unpleasant.
They're highly unpleasant. She was built to hate. She's got a hateable, scowly face.
The bus is not her style.
No, not her style at all.
High maintenance.
Mm-hmm. And just generally disapproving. I would not want to be her significant other. Nope. I think that would be...
I don't think she has one.
Yeah. Or if she does, it's very dry and very cold, and he's exactly like her. And
or evil.
Or completely evil.
Or clairvoyant.
Yeah. Oh! Yeah.
Or a life model decoy. But Sky, in particular, is having a lot of trouble. She is trying to hack into... follow the money. You know, you find the clairvoyant, you find the money. We have this guy, Van Chat, who's dealing in stolen Chitauri artifacts, Chitauri metals. You know, the centipede injectors are made out of Chitauri metals, so it makes sense. Makes sense that he would be selling it to them. And she's trying to trace the money. She can't because of her wacky does-anything bracelet. Mm-hmm. And so Victoria Hand turns to Melinda and is like, is Sky of any use on this bus? And Melinda is like, no. And, of course, everyone around the world is like, oh!
But little did we know her plan.
Yes. Thankfully, though, it was all a carefully calculated move by Melinda to get Sky out and running, working on her own, and basically being the best Sky we've ever encountered.
Oh,
where
yeah.
She's active, she's smart, she's working at the top of her intelligence. The jokes don't stick out too much. They're kind of funny. You know, she's getting one over on bad people. She steals a Lamborghini.
By the way, I was reading her tweets, and she was tweeting about driving that Lamborghini, and she said that she couldn't believe the producers let her drive it.
She's a bad driver.
And she said, fun fact, I stalled that Lamborghini while trying to drive it. It's an automatic.
Wow.
That sounds like something I would do, so I thought it was hilarious.
That her tweets are awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole cast tweets during the live show.
They're fun. They're really fun to read.
Yeah. She gets some ass kicking in. She flips some dudes. She's great.
She channeled her inner Melinda May.
Yeah, and that's what made her cool.
Yeah, that's what it took.
Nobody likes Sky as much until she channeled Melinda May.
Exactly. She bought a coat and everything changed. I know.
Her
coat was awesome, too, by the way.
And, like, that is a huge leap of faith for Melinda, too, to, like, go out on a limb and make, you know, to get Sky out there and go, like, I have a good feeling about this.
Yeah.
Like, she's, you know, she'll be able to do it. You know, she just can't be here with all these restrictions.
Yeah.
So that was really cool for Melinda as well.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was great for Melinda. What I loved most, honestly, and it's like a small thing, but... Every time that Sky uses a computer or a piece of technology, it gets locked down by her bracelet. And the fact that she adapts to this situation, she doesn't get frustrated, she finds a way around it and is using other people to do her dirty work for her, you know, very, very smart, very resourceful. And it's the kind of thing that, yeah, if you're an expert hacker, you would think to do. And
yeah.
I feel like it's something that she wouldn't have thought to do a couple episodes ago. And I'm glad that she's operating at the same level that we expect her to be operating at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's see what else. You know, when Melinda kicked her off the bus, we were all thinking, oh man, is she like trying to get her to step up off her man? We all know that that's not Melinda's bag. But at the same time, before the hiatus, she was getting a little more personal than she had thought she was. You know, even to the point of alienating Ward a little bit. By projecting.
Yeah.
Where do you guys see their relationship? How do you feel like it is right now?
I was actually kind of surprised that there wasn't much romance in this episode. I was expecting a little bit more, but I don't, between Melinda and Ward, I don't really see it going very far.
Yeah.
I don't think, I mean, if things kind of taper off, I don't think there'll be any, you know, bad blood between the two of them. There can't be.
Until he starts banging Simmons. Until he starts banging Simmons.
She's like 21.
I know. But did you see
That's legal.
Did you see there was a flicker of chemistry when she was healing up his wounds at the top of the episode?
I like her with Mike.
With Mike Peterson, I know.
That was so cute.
Mike,
last episode.
as we learned in the...
There's still a chance.
Yeah, in the last scene of the episode, and we'll get more into him later, has been recaptured by Centipede. He's not dead. He's missing a leg. And he's trapped, and he's got a centipede injector in his arm. Oh my gosh!
And one of those eye doodads.
Yeah. I know, with the backscatter. We're gonna deal with this. but first, I want to finish talking about May and Ward, the rest of the team. They're trying their very best to save Coulson, which isn't Miss Hand's objective. Agent Hand is concerned with taking down Centipede. She has no interest in saving Phil Coulson, and she doesn't get why she has so many very important people breathing down her neck trying to find out where Coulson is. What's the importance of just one man? And, you know, of course, Ward is like, he is that important. He is that one man. Yeah.
She probably feels bad because it's like, well, nobody calls about me.
I'm frowny more important.
I'm a level 9.
Yeah, I am.
Pay attention to me.
I'm higher ranking.
I think there's still something up with her. I don't trust her. I don't think we've seen the end
up to something.
Yeah, I don't.
Definitely.
I think she's somehow involved with Reyna and that whole group. Maybe because.
But then why did she want to take? Why would she want to take?
Why would she want to take Reyna into custody?
Yeah, but do we have proof that they were all like that taken down, or were some of them taken down and not others? Because obviously they're still operating on Mike Peterson, so maybe she closed just enough to not get anybody
suspicious
the other way.
She could also be working for someone we haven't even met yet, someone way worse,
somebody for season 2.
Exactly. She could be working for aliens.
I mean, we know they have a couple of baddies in their basement, and, you know, she could just be biding time until it's time to spring somebody out.
Or S.H.I.E.L.D. has some shady people. I mean, I don't know about you guys, when I see the, you know, new Captain America one, I'm a little suspect of Robert Redford in the previews.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
There's always someone shisty hanging around.
Yeah.
That's true.
Going back to Reyna, I feel like as much as we are so anti-Centipede, we want to, you know, we want them to just stop being evil.
Quit it out.
Quit being evil, guys.
You're bugging the world.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, despite all that, she really opened up Coulson's eyes. Like, she gave him all this insight into something he totally didn't have any memory of, and now he knows, and this is going to open a whole bunch of doors for him and for the show. And I'm just, you know, that's like the silver lining in this whole thing for me.
Oh, yeah.
That's true, because we wouldn't have gotten answers if he had kept hiding.
For sure.
But that's her job. Like, it is her job to be persuasive and to persuade people to do what Centipede wants.
And I feel like she's a little compassionate. Is it just me? I felt like...
She's very empathetic.
And her voice is so soothing.
Mm-hmm. She can make you feel like she really does care about you.
Yeah. Even if she doesn't.
Yeah. She did say at one point, though, that machine helped her. Mm-hmm. And it was very brief. So, again, I kind of hope she stays around. I liked their scenes together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like there's way more to her character that we don't even know about yet.
She's a very compelling performer. Mm-hmm. I hope that she can be swayed, and maybe she'll be on our side next season.
Maybe. Yeah.
I really liked the line about the flowers, because, you know, Coulson...
Who doesn't like flowers?
Thank you for noticing.
Yeah. Can we talk for a hot second about cell phones that make your face go blue
and veiny?
Oh,
my God. Yeah, it's speaking
the future,
of surprises.
Guys. It's the future of technology.
I don't know. It looked like a Motorola Trio circa 2007.
It looked pretty old school to me.
Yeah.
Dangerous, but old school.
Mm-hmm. And it can make your face blue. Just,
yikes.
Correct me if I'm wrong. did it look like the same kind of blue veiny stuff that Ward put in that dude's mouth?
Yeah, it did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, it, like, didn't the phone, like, stick to his face for, like, a second?
It, like, implanted itself into his brain or his ear or something.
Yeah, like some kind of brain electromagnet.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there a movie about that called, like, Cell?
Oh, my God, the movie was horrible.
Cell phones that kill people.
But, you know, most of the Centipede agents have a kill switch, you know, with the eye thing. So I wonder if, you know, the clairvoyant, if he doesn't actually have, you know, psychic powers or whatever, if he just activated whatever kill switch Poe had, you know, from the cell phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think that the clairvoyant could have, maybe it's not mental powers, but it's either like time travel-y stuff or more alien technology. We have to remember, way back in like episode 4 when we first introduced the eye cameras, you know, he was trying to get into a room with a bunch of Chitauri symbols, I don't remember if the fans ever pointed out, was it Chitauri or Skrull symbols on the on the walls in that room. So it could, we have an alien connection, definitely Chitauri metal to make these things. You know, they're building up this army. God knows what they're going to do with it. Yeah. Sound? Does that sound my dissertation?
Nods of approval.
Yeah.
Oh, our minds are just blown.
We all agreed with you.
Okay, great.
I'm just going to let Matt explain things.
Oh, no.
Sounds so good.
That's not what the show is. Okay. Any other choice bits before we move on to, like, predictions, because I feel like we could talk predictions.
I want to talk
safety word.
Manscaping.
I thought it was very interesting because this is the best we've ever seen them work as a team.
Yeah,
and it's because
at the top of the episode.
Yeah, at the very top of the episode, and even throughout, like when May, you know, threw Sky off the bus without ever having to consult one another, everybody knew how to react, even though they weren't in on May's plan. Like, they all fell perfectly into place.
You made me a sandwich? Yes, that is what this is.
And it was very interesting to see Fitz and Simmons this episode, because Fitz was more like,
on point.
On point, focused, and harsh than he's ever been.
Not as awkward as previous.
Except when he got beaten by putting down scissors.
Aw, poor Fitzy.
Rochambeau.
Speaking of scissors, you remember that part where Skye was using the golf club to dial?
Yeah.
And right next to her was a cup of pens and a scissor that she could have...
She was worried about getting too close.
Distance, actually, yeah, never mind. Mm-hmm. That's true.
That was very clever.
I was like,
I thought it was very clever how she used the OnStar. She crashed the car, and
I loved that. She definitely shined a lot for me in this episode. I think everybody did, but definitely Sky and Coulson. They were really great.
And really good acting this one too.
Oh, yeah.
Like just when Raina and Coulson were having the discussion about the cellist, I was like, ah. Clark Gregg, Clark Gregg is a good actor.
He's a great actor,
indeed,
and a great writer too.
I actually hope they also. I like Aidan Turner, who played Mr. Van Chant, if I'm saying that correctly.
Van Chant.
I liked him, so I wonder if they'll use him more, because he's a, you know, veteran actor for a lot of mostly daytime television. But I feel like that all kind of, you know, sometimes intertwines.
Yeah, well, he's...
I really liked him, but...
International weapons dealer, you know. There are plenty of people who have weapons.
He had a lot of Chitauri gear that, you know, he was just passing out left and
right. Yeah, where was he getting it all?
Where can I get some of that?
Where can I get a cool nifty gauntlet?
Yeah, Mama wants a piece.
I want that cool gold cuff in the beginning.
That was pretty
awesome.
That
was pretty rad.
Yeah.
Also, we had Fitzsimmons using the Seven Dwarfs differently this episode.
Sneezy.
Yeah, using them to incapacitate this dude and
embrace
lead him up.
Embrace the change.
Yeah, embrace the change. You know, we're on very little sleep. No sleep, in fact.
Yeah, 36 hours.
Yeah. And then even more after that conversation, because that conversation was early in the episode.
I liked Skye's reference to Lola. Don't touch Lola. Mm-hmm. She walked by.
Yeah. This episode felt very much like... If you were to break this season down into two seasons almost, like it felt very firmly like, okay, this is the second pilot. Mm-hmm. Like the first half of the season is done. Now we're going to kick it up a notch and they're going to be way more epic. And like to me, that was a callback to the pilot. That was her saying, I'm stepping out in front and I'm going to be kicking butt all season, and the team knows how to work together now. We know how to use them. This is going to be an epic back half to this season.
And we've seen a lot of things start to come together now, mm-hmm. not just them as a team and like as their characters and everything, but also like the plot points where during those first four episodes when everybody felt like the show was really dragging, it was all set up. And we knew it was going to be set up, and our waiting has paid off, and things are coming together really nicely.
Yeah, no, the train has picked up speed, and now it's just straight up chugging. I love it. Okay, it is time to talk about predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I know I'm doing it a little bit early, but we got a lot to discuss, so this is going to be at least 10 minutes. So what do we know? Mike is alive. He's now in the properties, in the care of Centipede somewhere. The clairvoyant still exists. We've busted a lot of Centipede folks, so their network is smaller, but their formula is perfected. They can now make as many soldiers as they want. Coulson now knows that he had his brain operated on, that he wanted to die. I think we can safely assume that he's human,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it's even the same body. Like, I think it's the most simplistic version of what we all were wondering how
Occam's
he got revived.
Razor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The simplest is probably the right one.
Yeah.
And so he's alive. We still don't know about Skye's parentage, but apparently next week we get a big old clue.
I cannot wait.
I know. Yeah. It's very, very exciting. I liked what they were hinting at. We've also got a big winter storm coming. What are you guys thinking next episode and beyond? I know.
Where do you start from that?
It's my fault. I like present like a wall of information, and I'm like, break this apart.
We're like, okay, where do we start?
Well, they're gonna have to fix Mike Peterson up a little bit. He's missing a leg. He's mm-hmm. burnt everywhere. I'm kind of interested to see how they. I think he's gonna have to like infiltrate the group again. Like, go in there and maybe almost have us as the audience know. Don't trust him. There's something in his eye.
Yeah.
But everybody else kind of being like, oh my goodness, he survived. Like, you know, thank God.
Right.
That's my prediction. I think he'll end up back with the group, but be given messages.
Well, it's kind of terrible that it was a great ending to this episode, but it was kind of terrible because earlier in the episode, Fitz and Simmons were having a conversation where Fitz is like, you know, he doesn't think sympathy is a good to have for any Centipede soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Simmons is far more sympathetic because she's like, they're being forced to, you know, they don't want to fight us. They have to, or, you know, they're going to flip a kill switch. And Fitz is just like, I'm not going to have sympathy for somebody working for the bad guy who can like literally punch a hole into your head.
Yeah.
And that was a terrible like kind of foreshadowing for the end of this episode to show that it's Mike. It's
or
one
like
of
a
them.
Great foreshadowing of terrible events.
Yes.
Is what
yes.
you're saying.
That's yes. what I meant.
I definitely think there's going to be conflict between Mike and the rest of the group. I mean, I think he's going to try his best to let them know that, you know, this isn't really me, guys. Like, this is what I have in my eyeball. Like, please don't do anything I say, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be very conflicting for both of them, for both those groups. And for Coulson, I think with all the information that he knows now, even though it's not that much, it's enough for him to possibly go rogue for a little bit. I think he's going to maybe have very little trust in the system that he's so trusted now. Maybe not super soon, but eventually. Maybe he'll go rogue for a little bit and they'll have to pull him back together and be mm-hmm. his own self.
I could definitely see him having a breaking point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's going to take off in Lola.
Yeah.
Just go across.
Just fly to Tahiti yep. in his flying car. I think that, I think, Joyce, you're kind of on the right track, namely that we learned this episode that he doesn't have a family. The team is his family, and the team has never betrayed him. They were the only part of S.H.I.E.L.D. that was super concerned with finding him. You know, so maybe he and the whole team go rogue. I mean, could the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show exist if they weren't Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Who knows? I mean, they're still very capable people. They wouldn't have the kind of resources that they have, but with Skye's hacking skills, who knows?
Mm-hmm. And it does make sense based on their attitude towards Hand this entire episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had no problem going against her will, and playing her, as she stated.
That's where you need another Nick Fury cameo, because for whatever reason, he's always the one that's able to kind of reel in Coulson, and he's the one that went to go save him.
Ordered him to be brought alive. Here's a big question. Why did they bring him back at all? It was days after he died. I mean, it's not like Nick Fury is someone who's nostalgic. He's a master spy. He's used to keeping secrets, letting people die for the cause.
I think there's a history there, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same reason why I think Coulson is now attached to Skye. There's something that brings them together, and now we kind of know they're both orphans.
Yeah.
Basically.
Or that they don't have a family anymore. Yeah. But no, you guys are right. With that was my question too, is just why spend all this time and resource, you know, I hate to sound like Victoria Hand, but why spend all this time and energy on one man? Like, there had to be a reason that Nick Fury would move heaven and earth to bring Coulson back, and whether that's just a personal attachment to a really good soldier seems kind of like an odd reason for a man like Fury.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you know, Coulson was just a normal soldier. He was a great soldier. He was a great operative. But why would it be so difficult to let such, you know, to let this particular operative go?
Because you can't have a spinoff on ABC without him.
That's very true.
Very, very true.
Well, and they've got so many other movies coming out. They said earlier he may not show up in another movie, but script down the line may look kind of good.
Yeah, it's entirely possible.
It would blow like Tony Stark's and Thor's and everybody's mind.
Well, I'm wondering if the enemy is a clairvoyant. Maybe S.H.I.E.L.D. has some kind of equivalent that was like, you need Agent Coulson alive. I don't know. It's a huge expense and a huge risk to bring someone back from the dead.
And it's really cruel, too, considering what they put him through.
Exactly. If the man wanted to die, they should have let him die. I mean, maybe they'd sunk too much money into it at that point to let it happen.
We're going to make him live. We can do this, guys.
This robot,
maybe the first time.
He's going to live and you're going to like it.
It just more gets to be a competition of, it's not Coulson. We just need to bring this guy back to life.
Yeah,
it's
man.
It's a matter of principle.
I got 50 bucks riding on this. Yeah.
There's people, that's why they're all watching from the top deck. They all got money on this, like Cabin in the Woods.
Jesus. Good pull.
I bet on operation number 6, guys. No, guys, it's going to be 9.
It's going to be 9. Guarantee
it. I can feel it.
7's always been my lucky number.
Merman.
So barbaric.
Okay. Anyone else?
That was just
big
for
points. Big points for this week? Predictions?
I'm good.
All right.
Really quick. Stan Lee's supposed to be on the show February 4th.
Sweet.
And it's supposed to be kind of a big role. So I got to wonder.
More than a cameo.
Wouldn't it be funny if he was the clairvoyant?
It's That'd be Stan pretty Lee. Neat. That'd
How
be
great
neat.
Would that be?
I'd love that.
My mind would be blown.
All right. Megan Salinas, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I am also on the Almost Human podcast. I'll be on the Sherlock Holmes podcast as
Sherlock
well.
Podcast, yes, starting on the 19th.
Yep.
Kristen Carroll.
You can find me, KristenCarroll13, on Twitter, and I'll do Walking Dead when it comes back in February.
Okay, Joyce.
You can tweet me on Twitter at JAJOURI. Suggest Marvel Comics if you have any suggestions for me. And also on Instagram at Iroja, IRUOJA. And I'll be starting to do the Shameless podcast starting this Sunday.
Great. And you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman, MattLieberman. So many shows starting in January. Hold on for the list. Hold on to your hats. Okay, I got True Detective starting this Sunday, the 12th. I've got Banshee on Cinemax and Helix on Sci-Fi, both starting on Monday, the 13th. They're both going to be so, so awesome. I've got Sherlock with the Menguin right here. I've got Lost Girl. And I've got Cougar Town, which just started tonight, and Betas is wrapping up its first season, as is Sleepy Hollow and Almost Human. Way too many shows. Follow me
Matt
everywhere.
Matt is AfterBuzz now. He's
I
the
could
face
be.
They are one.
I do it for you. All right. I love you guys. Everyone be well. We will see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
Thank you for watching AfterBuzz TV on YouTube. For more of your favorite after shows and interviews, subscribe to our channel here. And be sure to share your opinion on the episode in the comment section below here. We'd love to see what you guys are buzzing about. Thanks again. Buzz you later.